Welcome to Heart, Hustle, and Humor, a show for dedicated, hardworking, fun entrepreneurs and business owners who want to build a business bigger than their own satisfaction. We all know heart got you started, hustle made it happen, and humor got you through it. This is the only place you can get inspired and motivated by my guests who are using the trifecta of heart, hustle, and humor in their business. It's time to dream higher. Today's episode is brought to you by Kaleidoscope Media Services. Kaleidoscope Media Services helps professionals scale their business by adding digital products for success. I'm your host, Dr. T. Welcome to another episode of Heart, Hustle, and Humor. I'm your host, Dr. T. And you're not going to believe it. I got Lori Eber in studio with me. She grew up in the craziness of New York City, and her first career for 23 years was a corporate litigator. Now, when you get to know her, you're going to be, what? Because she loved practicing law, and she was actually the first female, she was the second female partner admitted into the firm that she worked for. And during her legal career, she really didn't pay attention. She was so busy doing the litigation and working with clients that she really didn't exercise a lot except for to relieve stress. And so what she's done, and we're going to talk about this, is for the last 9 years, she has actually shifted gears and is running a very successful wellness coaching business. And I am just, Lori, thank you so much for being in studio with me today. But the first question I have to ask you, how do you go from being a litigator to a wellness coach?
A moment of insanity, Dr. T. That's what happened. I went insane. And this is like so embarrassing for a professional woman. I met Mr. Damn Right. What can I say?
What?
Yeah, my soulmate crept up on me when I wasn't even paying attention. So I got married. This was my second time around. Didn't do so well on the first try, you know, live and learn.
That was your practice one. The first one's your practice one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was warming up, you know, be miserable for 7 years and then try again.
There you go.
So he was the guy, and I could already see that having this career, since I'm a type A plus and having a nice home life, you know, this balance myth, not going to happen. I failed at Lori. Now it's time to be loving wife role. Would you switch? I determined I'm incapable of switching. So you just got to dump the career and move on. So it took me a mere 10 years to find wellness coaching, Dr. T. It was so quick. I'm so bright. I went there right away, you know, just like easy. So I'd say if you're going to switch a career like that, where your identity is all wrapped up in it, which mine was, hire a shrink. That's what you
know what?
You need a psychologist. Yeah. It's not easy.
No, I agree with you. We need help when we do those transitions. And sometimes
like, it was scary as hell. I woke up the day after I resigned at age 49. I thought, shit, nobody needs me. Oh my God, the phone's not ringing. It was before text. Nobody needs me. What is my purpose in life? I was in full blown panic. It took a while to calm down. I started with golf, which was the dumbest thing I ever did, but my husband pushed me into it.
Okay, now I like golf, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, we're a little frustrating.
Yes, I know. But the whole wellness piece for you, it really has become, it's in your heart. I mean, you were really driving for yourself and for other people. And what is it about this wellness piece that you think is so important?
It appalls me that 75% of the U.S. population is overweight or obese. In my opinion, coronavirus to the side, this is a pandemic. Mm. It really is. And this is something we have so much control over, and everyone is back burnering it, and it just fries me. I'm angry.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I wanted a second career that I could do till I dropped dead. I need to be in total charge because that's how I am. I don't want people working for me I have to worry about, and I don't want a bureaucracy. I already climbed up that ladder. But if I can spend my time doing something that gives me purpose and fulfillment and helps people, which is helping them change their health habits for good, wow, I'm a happy camper.
No, it's true. I mean, and even, you know, for me, it's been one of those things that, particularly when I'm bored or I'm I it's the snacking, right? It's the sugar and your body gets used to it.
That's right. Yeah. And the only way to get to a healthier place is behavior change, change your habits. These quick weight loss diets, they just amount to cycling, and you're a year older and you've got nowhere other than you paid a lot of money for something useless.
Yeah.
So I've chosen naturally, well, I always do this kind of stuff to myself, the hardest niche in this weight loss realm, which is do it the right way. That's the hardest niche. I refuse to sell any of this stuff that nobody needs or create expensive urine with a bunch of pills. It's ridiculous. You don't need that. You need to put healthy food in your mouth. You need to control your portions. It's not a mystery, but getting there is hard. Controlling the jaw muscle, astoundingly challenging because of the world we live in. It's all about food. It's all about mega portions. It's all about convenience. And these companies and restaurants, they know how to addict our taste buds. Exactly the right amount of sugar and fat and carbs, they keep you coming back.
Yep. So true. And you know, I always look for quotable quotes. I think you got the best one there.
I like that
expensive
one.
Urine. Okay.
That's what it is.
The thing is I know exactly what you're saying.
Yes. It conveys it very well. People, if somebody doesn't laugh at that joke, I figure they're not a good candidate for me to coach, you know, forget it. They don't get me.
Well, now you wrote a book on the transition from litigator to being a wellness coach.
I did. And it's
so what's it called?
How I Escaped Legal Practice and Got Myself a Life.
How I Escaped Legal Practice and Got Myself a Life. That is great. And you know, you did come from kind of a very fast paced New York style, being an attorney, particularly litigation. But how did you sort of go from like all that, like, you know, you started to talk a little bit about the how hard it was for you to transition, but you were like busy, and then you slowed down.
Oh, incorrect. Totally incorrect.
Okay.
Wrong
what did you
assumption
do?
On your part.
It is.
I'm a type A. I did not
that's
lose
right.
myself. I'm the world's only type A wellness coach. Woohoo!
You know what? We should never make assumptions, that right?
No, we shouldn't. And here's what I found out. When you run your own business, marketing.
Yeah.
You can never do enough to promote your business. You know that. You could work 24/7. My stress now is just self-imposed, but I am so good at it. I am the world's nastiest boss ever. And I'm the only victim of it. I'm the same person. I haven't slowed down once. Sometimes my husband will say, honey, you're so impatient. You know what my answer is? That's who you marry. Get over it.
Get over it. That's it.
I am not changing. You chose poorly if you didn't want an impatient woman.
Well, you know, we always talk about hustle on the show, and you started to lead to the marketing hustle, but how else are you hustling in your business besides the marketing piece?
Yeah, I do a lot of presenting and stuff like this as well, but I do a lot of, you know, presentations to various groups, often for free. Because I like to engage people. If I have an audience and a mic, I'm a happy camper. And it's very ironic because when I was a lawyer, I hated being up in the courtroom and speaking. And one of the things I found out in my arduous journey to the new career was that I actually love that stuff. because what the difference is, I'm in control of the room now. That feels entirely different than the judge is in charge and he's about to embarrass you with some case you forgot to read or something.
Oh,
so I love presenting to groups, you know.
Yeah.
Networking groups, conferences. I've done a ton of that stuff. I love doing that. Just getting out there and talking to people about this piece because it is so important.
How did you have to transition with being a wellness coach, you know, when the pandemic hit and still being able to engage clients? What did you do to transition?
First, I got extremely ticked off for only about a year. The first thing I did was I declared myself an essential worker and continued to come to the office, and I dared anyone to say I was non-essential. So I showed up. Even if no one was here, I showed up. I kept doing my social media stuff. I kept busy as hell. For about 4 months at least, my business totally tanked. I was extremely resentful, pissed off, angry. I wanted to choke somebody in the government, naturally. And I did the best I could. What I did is I wrote another book. I found other ways to fill the time. That's what I did. Because the worst thing for me is I'm bored. I can't stand being bored. It makes me crazy. And I can go from my day is crazy busy to I got 10 minutes and I'm bored, just like that. I need to be engaged. So I found other things to do in the meantime, you know, clean up my website. The book is a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
And so I just kept busy and I kept doing what I could to get my name out. And I got a little bit of unemployment and slowly the business started to come back. Now, one upside I do see, and I hate the whole thing and I wish we would just get over it, but we're not apparently, is that people used to search for a service like mine by geographic limiters. So they would search nutritionist near me or nutritionist Irvine or Orange County. And they want someone who was, you know, within easy driving distance. People's attitudes have changed. I have a woman in Cairo, Egypt, who I coach.
Yep.
I have people who call me up. They have no idea where I am. They don't care. They are much more comfortable doing virtual. I think in person is more effective, but if they're willing to do virtual and they live somewhere else, hey, I'm happy to take them on. So that has been a little bit of an unexpected upside. I do like to be with people. One thing I learned about the pandemic is I thought I was pretty antisocial. Wrong. I need people. And I need to touch people. I'm a hugger. I was so people deprived. I could not believe it. It gave me a whole new attitude about who I really am. If I had a client coming in, you know, this is when my business started ramping up again. Most of it was virtual. But there were a couple brave souls who'd come in. I go to the front desk and I go, a human is coming to visit me. I am so excited today. I get to dress up and see a human. Oh my God. Yeah, it brought me joy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I because we do in our business, we do a lot of virtual stuff because like you, we've expanded all over the world and it's been fantastic. So what I have to do is, because I'm a hugger too, as I have to make sure that I'm doing fun engagements with people I know, you know, my family or my friends, so that I'm fulfilling that part of who I am. Otherwise I'd go crazy not having that interaction.
I know. I couldn't stand the idea of working from my house. No way. Yeah. Even though every week I'd come in and some other group was moving out. I'm in an executive suite kind of setup.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little businesses. A bunch of them tanked or a bunch of them decided, you know what, why should I pay for the office? I'll just work from home. Yeah. So there was a lot of, you know, depressing stuff like that. I hung in there because I like this office and I don't want to work from home. Makes me crazy.
Yeah. And I noticed that sometimes because I'm working it from home, you kind of lose focus sometimes. So having that place to go still gives you a little bit of structure.
And the other thing is the kitchen is always open. Just saying. And it's like two steps away and I'm bored. So let me shove something in my mouth. That'll make me feel better.
Like, quit talking about me.
I'm so bored. I think I'll learn how to bake and buy out all the flour in the store. And you know what? A bottle of wine would be pretty good every night. And that's an essential business. I'm there. That's what people did.
Yep, it is very true. Very true.
So now I'm in the process of trying to break those habits, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of drinking went on, I can tell you that. A lot of drinking. Oh my God. It crept up, you know, one glass, two glass, three glass.
Yep.
Oh my God. It's crazy.
We're gonna have to get locks on our refrigerator so it only releases at a certain time.
We are.
The good thing is you never have to worry about me wanting to cook or bake, because
that's not what you do.
This, you know, I just go over to other people's houses, like my sister's house, my mom's house.
Well, often the first thing I tell a new client is take the DoorDash and Uber Eats right off your phone, would you please?
Yep.
They're too tempting. And you're going to save a lot of money. You can pay the cost of my services with it, believe me.
Well, I know you and I have been doing some laughing, but other people have told you to be a stand-up comedian. How does humor play in your world?
Well, I don't know how you get through life without humor. I just don't know. I'm a born and bred New Yorker. That's where I grew up, in Manhattan. And it's all about irony. You know, that's the kind of stuff that makes me laugh. And I'm just out there and I lay it right on the line, and people aren't used to that. And you gotta have that attitude. You're not getting through the coronavirus, I'll tell you that. There is no way. This is just very depressing if you focus on it. So you gotta, you know, find the upside and laugh about it. And look, behavior change, what I do, controlling the jaw muscle, as I like to call it, it is really, really hard. It is one of the hardest things people are ever going to do in their lives. And it seems like it shouldn't. How hard is it to control my mouth? I mean, I'm in total control. Well, it's your brain gets in the damn way.
Yep.
So, you know, while they're going through this painful process and sometimes failing, I got to have humor with them. I got to, you know, bring them back and tell them it's not that big a deal and make a joke out of something. You got to.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. Not that serious. You got the rest of your life to get healthy. So you had a bad day. Amnesia. Move on.
Amnesia. Move on.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and I know for you, you know, you say you're an A-type personality, but a piece
I
of that.
I said A+, actually.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry.
And you know who told me that?
Who?
One of my clients who's a police officer says, people accuse me of being a type A, but ma'am, I think you're an A+. I said, thank you so much.
That's such a compliment. I'll take that on.
I took it as a compliment. It probably wasn't meant that way, but I didn't care.
Sometimes you just got to take it and run with it.
Yep. You can apply any interpretation you'd like.
That's right. So as an A+ personality,
yes.
You are really dedicated though to really trying to be a better person in moving forward. And how have you been able to do that?
Well, look, isn't that what you're supposed to do in life?
Yeah.
If you're not making progress and, you know, getting to be a better version of yourself and doing things that matter to people, what the hell are you doing with your time?
Right. Yeah.
You got to keep doing that. It's really important. And I was brought up, you know, they told us we were Irish Catholics. Turns out we were Russian Jews. They just kind of major lie in my family. But then I realized I was brought up in the Jewish culture and a lot of things made sense. So it was one of those, okay, Laurie, you're going to college. A BA gets you nowhere. Would you like to be a lawyer or a doctor? Those are your two choices. And I thought, where is this coming from? Meanwhile, I was in this all girls, horrible Catholic high school on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And none of these girls were going to college and they were smart. And I'm like, what is this? Then I realized it was because I wasn't Catholic. I was Jewish.
Ah, interesting.
So that was always my MO. My problem is de-stressing, taking time to relax, trying to be a normal human being. That's a lifelong thing I'm working on. I finally have chill Sundays. Sundays I don't work, although I have to admit I do text my clients, but that's not real work, you know. But I sit outside with my Starbucks coffee and I read a novel.
Nice.
So I need to be with people because if I'm in my backyard, I'm asleep. But I can engage or not engage. That's what I found helps chill me out.
Yeah.
But it took me decades to figure it out. I kept saying, Lori, you got to have a hobby. You got to have a hobby. I'm like, I'm not a hobby girl. I'm hopeless. I don't want a hobby. I don't want to do more physical activity. I work out all day. I don't want to do that, you know?
Right.
But I finally remembered this is what I used to do as a kid because I grew up with parents who were fighting all the time and the atmosphere was horrendous and I was a good girl and I'd do all my homework and then I'd have time. I would escape into a book. To me, it's exactly the same as going to a movie. I got my brain totally engaged. I'm in a different place and that was like my timeout break.
Yeah.
So I finally remembered that and I went back to it and it works.
You know what I love about you, Lori, is and I know my business partner, Laura Neubauer, has known you for years. But
what I'm insane too. You see, well, you're gonna kick her for saying she should have her on the show now.
Well, you know, but insanity is all a it's a percentage. We're all got a little bit of that.
Right.
But I think it's your honesty about having a career as a litigator and then how it you shifted and the fact that you, a successful person such as yourself, still has. You have to think about relaxing and you have to think about taking it down and getting into your book and having your Starbucks. I think a lot of entrepreneurs forget to do that.
Oh, you got to. Absolutely have to. Yeah. You know, because when you're trying to run a business, stuff is going wrong every day of the week. And you gotta, you know, my clients cycle out, they graduate, and I want them to graduate, or otherwise I am a failure. I don't want people, I'm not Weight Watchers where the success for me is they keep coming back. No, I want them to leave the nest like a child.
Because
I've given them the skills they need to maintain a healthy weight and live a good, healthy lifestyle forever. And it's not that I never want to see them again, but they shouldn't be cycling in and out of my program. So that means I got to keep replenishing the supply. So it's like I go home and I tell my husband, I had somebody who cycled out today. Oh man. He's like, yeah, well, that's what you chose, honey. So I'm happy when I get a prospect, you know, it's like my woohoo, I got a prospect. I got, you know, some hope here.
Yeah. Taking another one on just to help them get out and graduate.
Yeah, and you know, a couple other interesting things. I've met wonderful, interesting people who I wouldn't otherwise meet. And I'm not a girly girl. I don't have a big group of friends. I don't do that sort of thing. But I like being in a person's life, but sort of still being in charge and them not being a friend who's needy, asking for free help.
Right.
I have found that works for me. And the other thing I will say about my business is, basically, I'm an untrained, unschooled, uncredentialed shrink. That's what I am. Because the jaw muscle, it all starts in the head.
Yes.
Everything you put in your mouth, it's all head work.
Yeah.
And it's all, everyone's different. You got to figure out, you know, what techniques work for them. And it's different for every person. And it's really interesting to me. And people tell me all their personal stuff because all that stuff affects them. You know, it's like stress and everything else. And, you know, I mean, we talk about bowel movements and they go, oh, this is probably TMI. I'm like, no, it's not TMI. It's all part of the process.
It's
all
part of it. Yep. Absolutely.
So I was always the person who all the girlfriends would come to and ask for advice. I didn't know why. I'd give them good advice. They would disregard it. Then they'd come back and ask for more advice. So it occurs to me now that I always had this kind of predisposition to be someone who could be, you know, an outside objective person and help people and give them decent advice. I've always loved this, but I don't want to be, you know, treating people with their childhood ailments, regurgitating week after week after week, like right. a trained psychology business. I like this better. But a lot of what I do is really head work. It really is. And for some percentage of my clients, we never even get to nutrition because they got too many layers of stuff to clear out before they could focus on this. And you got to understand that about people. Some people are not really ready, and it's an escape, and it's some kind of emotional thing.
Yeah. Well, and we deal a lot with that, you know, when we're out helping businesses scale by digitizing themselves. We find a lot of leaders or entrepreneurs have a lot of old thoughts or ideas or, you know, failures that get in their way to move on. And it really is important to sort of recenter, reground before we can move on to take care of our business or take care of our own health. And so I love what you're saying about that. Just it's the head work has to happen for the jaw work to happen.
That's right. Yeah. It really does. And a lot of it's head work. I mean, and the other thing is, you know, the reason to hire a wellness coach, aside from you get some guidance, accountability. When you're changing habits, you absolutely need accountability. Otherwise, you're going to do really well Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday curveball, then you go into the black hole and you say, well, I'll start again Monday. And then it turns into January 1st, you never make any progress.
Right.
If you know you have to face Laurie, then you're a little different. Because I can crack the whip too. After all, I'm still a litigator, but I have a huge well of empathy because this is very difficult.
Yeah.
So, you know, I play between those extremes and I figure out what works for the person and I do it.
Yeah.
And when I first started, you know, you need to target market. You need to figure out your group. I hate all this stuff. So I thought it's going to be like baby boomer women like me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I kind of started there and I get them, but I got, you know, a 15-year-old, I got a 90-year-old, I got men, I got women, I got everything in between, which is wonderful.
Yes.
There's no type. I do get a lot of professional people because they see the JD and they think that means something. To me, it's like, whatever, you know, I mean, it doesn't impress me one iota. How hard is it to get through law school? It ain't hard, you know? But I lived the life that a lot of them are in now. So they know I understand their stresses and their travels and all that kind of stuff. And I can relate to them. And, you know, I have more of a brain than, you know, some of the wellness coaches who are your typical perky dyed hair, fake enhancements, you know, oh, I just got my degree, you know, and they're going to, you know, they got a cookie cutter approach. And I mean, I got a lot of life experience.
Right. Yeah. And that is an important piece of your work and the head work, right? If you haven't been there and experienced it, it's hard to relate.
Yes, it is. But what's, you know, next? One surprising thing is I have a lot of millennial clients, a lot of younger clients. And you know what? I sit there and I think I could be your grandmother. Whoa, that is a little frightening, but then I think, you know what? Most people like grandma, so don't kick yourself. It's okay.
I loved my grandmas. I loved my grandmas.
If I was their mother, it would be worse, right?
Right. Well, but as a grandma, you don't want to disappoint your grandma either. Moms, you know. But grandmas do not disappoint our grandmas.
They don't. Sorry to interrupt you. I had to get that in.
Oh, that's good. What's next for you? You've got some books, you're doing growing your business. What's next?
More of the same. I absolutely love what I do. I mean, I can't believe I found something I love. I found the right man. I found the right career. Who knew? I guess it's time to sit down and die. You know, I've done everything. So I just keep moving ahead. You know, I don't delude myself anymore. I've written 7 books. You know, not one of them is ever going to be an Amazon bestseller. I don't have a name. And mostly I give them away. But I like doing the books. I like sort of evolving my business to make it more effective. That's kind of the challenge that I love. Just figuring out, you know, what pieces of it I can make more effective for people and reflecting on, you know, what works for people and what kind of accountability and, you know, getting better at assessing people quickly and kind of figuring out, you know, what their needs are going to look like.
Yeah.
I'm better all the time. And I love that because I feel like I'm improving and I'm a better wellness coach every day. So that keeps me going and thriving. And the, you know, the business promotion in the beginning, I absolutely hated it. I had a bad attitude. And then I said, Lori, get over yourself. This is what you signed up for. Mm-hmm. You absolutely are going to need to do this forever. If you want the fun part, you got to put up with this. So I taught myself, you know, how to be a 16-year-old and do social media and make friends and post a bunch of useless wank or whatever. And just get my name out, and I just keep going with it, you know, TikTok. Oh, now we got YouTube Shorts. I got to figure out how to do YouTube Shorts, you know.
And yeah.
All that kind of stuff, and I just keep it going. I mean, that's a good thing. I want to keep up with stuff, but it's painful, and it seems very silly, and whatever, yeah. It works. That's how people find me. They do a Google search, and they find me. So, you know, that's the answer. You got to do it.
Absolutely. How do people get a hold of you? What's the best way?
The easiest thing is go to my website. It's called LoriEberWellnessCoaching.com.
Perfect. And we will make sure that that is in the show notes for everyone. So be sure you reach out to Lori. You can see that she has an amazing way she coaches people to be healthy. Lori, thank you again for coming on and sharing your passion, the work you're doing, and how you transitioned from litigator to wellness coach. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
It's been a lot of fun. It's my pleasure. And thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Someday we might meet in person. And
I'm looking forward to it. Let's do it. Let's just make that happen now.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Lori. This has been another episode of Heart, Hustle, and Humor, and I know you're going to like this episode. Share it with your friends. Until next time, dream higher.
Are you a professional looking to take your business to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go to KaleidoscopeMediaServices.com. Check it out. And if you feel you are ready, then set up a time to talk to me and my co-founder, Laura Neubauer. I'm your host, Dr. T. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends.